Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. If you're away from the radio, though, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you guys.
My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program, he's the master of fun and games here in the Memphis area. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. No Writer Than Right Trivia. We're off tomorrow for Juneteenth, but we will be back next week with Writer Than Right Trivia, and you'll have the opportunity to win Creed tickets when they come to town, which I think it's the 27th. I want to say it's win the Creed tickets, and then they play the next night.
Oh, is it? So is it that soon?
I think
I thought they were next month.
I think that's the case. Let me look it up just to be clear. Again, usually 10:30s, but again, no show tomorrow. So next week will be your next chance to play Writer Than Right Trivia. CerritoEntertainment.com is the website, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
But we do have trivia tonight, Celtic Crossing, and we're on the Ghost River Tap Room downtown on South Main tonight. And we will have trivia tomorrow night at our regular Thursday night locations. It's going to be a great night tonight. Despite what some people might say, it is a great day. It's always a great day to play here in Memphis. Trivia is one of those things you can do. Everybody wants to play trivia.
July 27th, by the way.
So it is July. See, I thought it was next month.
I had the 27th right. So you can win tickets on June 26th for the Creed show, July 27th. Sorry, continue.
It's Juneteenth, right? So tonight, like so many of us, off tomorrow. So it's going to be a fun night tonight to go out. If you're looking for something free to do, go to CerritoEntertainment.com, win some awesome prizes. We also have 4 music bingos happening around the Memphis area, and we're celebrating Juneteenth tomorrow. We will have our regular trivia nights, a special hip-hop music bingo night happening at the Westin across from FedEx Forum downtown tomorrow, and we got a special cookout edition of music bingo hosted by Anthony Sane out in Cordova at Waldo's tomorrow, so we'll be celebrating the holiday, But yeah, tonight's the night. I love middle of the week holidays. You know, Juneteenth gets that rollout every year that it can fall any day, right?
Yeah.
It can fall at any time. So we're gonna have the Thursday and then reset on Friday. But you know,
have we had the opportunity to complain about it being on a weekend yet? Where
we need to put it on a weekend.
I'm just saying, you know, anytime there's no bigger bummer than when
Juneteenth. Well, there'll be a Juneteenth observed.
We get it observed as a bank holiday, but I feel like there's just nothing worse than when you get the 4th on Saturday or something.
We don't want that. Yeah. So is this, I mean, we're new to Juneteenth being an official federal holiday. And so I believe 4th of July is also on a Thursday. So is this how it works calendar-wise, number-wise, most every year is that we're going to have that same day of the week impacted here with holidays? It's whatever Juneteenth is that what we get?
So the 4th is a Friday this year.
Oh, is it a Friday? For some reason, I thought it was a Thursday. So it's not. Okay, so it's a day after. All right.
So it's,
there we go.
The number of, so it's 15 days in between.
What do I know? All right, 15
there
days.
There you go.
So it's always going to be the next day.
Right. Yeah. So we have a Friday, 4th of July this year.
Okay, yeah, that's right. We're off. I was thinking because we're off here on the 3rd.
Correct. So we are correct off of that. All right, let's talk about
trivia. Gets impacted. There you by go. Both of them. Yeah.
No, we should be good on.
On the third, it'll be a Thursday. We're off.
No, no, but the third. The fourth is a Friday. Are we off? Are we off, George? Are we off the third and fourth? Okay. All right. Shout out, Brad.
Brad's been telling me I need to check my Odyssey. You know, I checked it a few weeks ago.
Shout out, Brad. For
it was good to hear that Calkins also needs to check his, and he's here every day.
Yeah, he ran into the. Is there anything more frustrating than the message you get every quarter? Change your password. So Calkins got into the. He's always been horrible about answering that email. But then we ran into the. When we were trying to get him back in the swing of things, the password had expired and there wasn't anyone here that could reset it. It had to be reset remotely. Like, it was just an ordeal. But now we're back ready to go. All right, let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. We'll start off with buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. You can probably imagine what the first topic will be. Also, I want to discuss what we saw last night in the WNBA. Also, shout out to the Panthers last night. They did cash my plus 180. So congratulations to all the fine hockey fans down there in Sunrise, Florida. George, I know you caught on when the fans in Florida had no idea that Edmonton had pulled the goalie with like 6 minutes left.
I'm not going to lie. I was also kind of caught off guard by that, mainly because that was...
It was super early, but
exceptionally unconventional.
I thought they had to do something. So, but
I thought you were going to say the fans in Florida were caught off guard that they had a team in the Stanley Cup Finals.
They actually show up pretty well down there.
They prove everybody loves a winner.
Florida is a.
Oh, there were some times where they were
hockey
not.
State now. But what streak in sports? To me, one of my favorite streak in sports is the fact that Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1993.
We've had an addition to it. We have had an American CFL champion more recently than a Canadian team. I believe it was so when Baltimore was in between the Colts leaving. So when we had the Mad Dogs, Baltimore had a team and they won the CFL. I think it was 96.
That is how long it is, though.
Correct.
Like, we're going to say the Mad Dogs were competing.
Correct. The Mad Dogs were playing Canadian football in America.
Right.
And that's more.
After.
More recent than a Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup.
I mean, it's 30 years, so yeah.
I have a fun hockey one, and it involves a player. Do you guys know the player Corey Perry?
Yeah, he's got a tough one.
He has played in 5 out of the last 6 Stanley Cup Finals. Do you know how many he has won?
Oh my God. That would be zero.
None.
Man, so like, I mean, I know we're not at all a hockey town, but my goodness, these stats make me very, very interested in the Stanley Cup. He's played as that's great.
Yeah, and mind you, that's between like 3 different teams.
So you don't want him on your team now at this point.
Bad juju.
Well, he's the
Madden curse of
hockey.
You
want him on your team until, like, you just have to cut him before the final.
Or if you're, never or mind, you have a I great, shouldn't bring up what happened in Chicago.
You have a great story, though, when he actually does win.
Was he part of the Kane?
No. After that, there were some, he essentially was removed from the team. Supposedly, there were some off-ice things with him and a member of a Bedard.
Oh yeah. Didn't he pulled a Delonte West, right?
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah. There's that. also over at ESPN they have the top college football streaks that won't be broken. Records that won't be broken. That's kind of along the same things. So then we will get into our TV timeout. We've got a big announcement from Disney, and honestly, I think this is probably where the world's headed. So we'll give you more about
that. The future is here, yeah.
Also,
move over AI.
I think we bullied the NBA into showing us the starting lineups in Game 5.
We bullied them a lot this finals.
I want to say this. I thought Game 5 was a noticeable improvement of the broadcast. I thought they had the crowd mic'd hotter.
Yeah.
I thought it was good to show us the pregame. The problem is you're now at the point where it's 5 games into it, and it almost feels like, okay, well, now this is safe and neat. So long, good night.
Yeah, well, if they, you know, there's a chance we get to a game 7, and If we do, then they'll have their everything figured out. And we'd be have that emotion we want, right? Because the problem has been the lack of emotion, and they've kind of fixed it a little bit. They're working in that direction. It's not fixed.
Yeah,
by any means.
I wouldn't say it's fixed.
They're doing some of the small things, and it's all things that they used to do.
Correct.
So it's not like we're saying you should be doing something different. We're just like, you should do what you used to do.
It's
do what you've always done.
It's kind of like when I used to get frustrated when – remember, like, when Penny would screw up, screw with the lineups, and then by the end of the season when it became do-or-die time, and he just had to start playing the guys that obviously were the best players, and he cut the rotations down?
Right.
And I was like, you got to give him credit? It's like, no, he created the problem.
Right. Oh,
the solution was there all along. Like, you don't get credit for overcoming obstacles that you created.
Correct. Right.
Like,
yeah. But we,
yes.
Yeah, there seemed to be an era of that. It's a strategy. Maybe they did that. I don't know. Maybe they did it. Maybe they were on purpose. They obviously made the changes on purpose.
Correct. Like it's the.
So now we can talk about they're back. The starting lineups are back.
We got to talk about how they improved by creating a problem. Also, Goldberg's back, everybody.
Goldberg.
So we'll talk about that during the TV timeout. Also, a true legend is back, the 4th of July. Speaking of, we got Joey Dogs back in the equation. Good to see that as well. Also, we've got another situation of It Just Means More involving sports gambling in the state of Louisiana. That was a story I did not see coming, but we'll talk about that. CJ Hurt going to join us during hour number two. As he normally does, we'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But, George, let's fire up some Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. All right, Kevin. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Stephen A. Smith got exactly what he wanted.
Ooh, well, we have officially entered day two of the Stephen A. Smith conversation here on 92.9
well,
ESPN
yeah,
he,
we
and
had the
city.
Update.
We've had updates. It's developing. The story's been going on.
The plot thickens, so obviously
it's ongoing, for
last
sure.
Night after our program, Ja fired up Twitter. He did also break that, like, I'll be back. Like, this site, like...
So, I'll be back.
I thought it happened like just before. Did that?
It did not
happen.
So,
Jaws the Terminator.
I'll blame you. I had not seen it during the show. I do not have notifications set up for when Jaws tweets because it used to be when you'd get notifications, you'd find out he was going live and a gun would show up. So then those were depressing.
Fair.
So I quit doing those.
That's also why I like half and half do Grizzlies PR.
Yeah. I do PR during the season so that I know this the injury report. So,
but it's usually sad. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the problem is, like, we have to know, like, okay, who's actually playing tonight? So, I thought it happened after the show, but regardless, the update was job taken up for the city. And then, of course...
Right, so, on his Twitter.
So,
he tweeted, of course, this was at 11:33 a.m. was the original tweet.
Okay, so
yesterday.
I blamed George. He didn't send it to me.
Yeah, I'm a
be. I'll take the.
Yeah,
I'm a be in that 901 source me that occurred yesterday. So it was a quick response from Ja, honestly. And then
what about the other two? Course, the other two were him really responding.
He's talking about the Grizzlies more than the finals. You know, was one of his other tweets, which is great.
Which is a more than fair point.
Which was a very fair point. But yeah, Ja broke the news. Did you realize when it's not a background on Twitter. What is your banner photo on Twitter?
Yeah.
Is
all the knives?
Yeah, Flynn Rider from
Tangled.
Yeah. With all
actually,
the knives.
Not a bad
Flynn
one.
It's pretty good.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But anyway.
I've gotten a Rider than Right trivia question from Tangled.
Yeah, you did get one.
Who's the voice of Rapunzel?
That's right.
Mandy Moore.
The Ja reaction happened, but then also Steven's reaction to the Ja reaction.
Correct.
That's out there.
Yeah. And then
much longer.
And then, of course, that turned into a segment today. I've not watched the segment because I'm going to buy this immediately already. Whether it be Stephen A. or Skip, 95% of what they do is just to get acknowledged. Like, I actually think one of the smartest things LeBron does is never acknowledging Skip because it's so obvious, like Skip's entire like life existence right now is to get LeBron to acknowledge him. Even though clearly LeBron is aware and knows all the arguments and whatnot, but it's clearly by design. What I can't figure out, and I'd love to know y'all's theories, because you know me, I'm a skeptical. Calkins calls me cynical. I say I'm skeptical. I'm just asking questions like Cartman. I'm wondering if part of this was designed to good old fashioned, if you don't like the conversation, particularly if it's about you, change it. This has completely taken away from the fact that, number one, Stephen A., by almost every, whether it be critics, whether it be fans, they've not enjoyed his performance during the NBA playoffs, and particularly during the finals. And we did have a situation in which...
In a solitary performance.
Well, we'll get to there. I want to be clear, he was taken out of context, but the headline going around after Game 4 was Stephen A. Smith said, "I hope Tyrese Halliburton's hurt. I'm glad he's hurt." Mm-hmm. So that one's going around. I am very curious to know if this is strategic and designed to change the entire conversation, because we're no longer... That one basically got glossed right over. And then there's still the solitaire jokes out there, but for the most part, people have kind of moved on from that too.
Okay, so the question you asked is, like, did he get what he wanted? I'll buy that for sure, because that's what Stephen A., I mean, he wants people talking about what he is saying. That's why he's there. That's why he is on as much as he's on ESPN and now Sirius XM.
Not yet.
And he's going to be on that, but he's got all these other properties, his side hustles that he needs as well. But I'm wondering if it's as strategic as you are saying. You think this is strategic?
This is one that I truly am.
Is he just talked so much that he just said this thing?
That's the problem.
I didn't think through exactly what he was saying.
If I say gun to my head, I'm going to say no. Because I think oftentimes...
It's going to benefit... I mean, I don't know. It makes him a heel here. It's going to be tough. Like, if he's, you know, when he's running for president in a few years,
well,
you
so
got the,
then,
the one
so
blue... You
Reddit
know, there's
was
only
going
a couple
off,
of blue counties
Reddit
here.
Was going off on that. That this was designed, that there were conspiracies online that this is more proof that he's running for office by trying to appeal to moderates, and therefore, even though he's going to run as a Democrat, talking like this would appeal to people that lean a little right, like right center.
I can see that. I can see that for the Stephen A. Did, yeah.
You're
saying he might have lost some voters in the city, but he is getting county voters out of...
The internet conversation going
on. You're
going
to need a coalition beyond just the Democratic Party when he runs for president. So, we're half jokingly saying this, but, like, you know, who knows?
Oh, all bets are off.
He could be there. He could be.
All bets are off at this point.
Stephen A. could be the next president of the United States.
So the reason why I'm skeptical of that is
Of what? Which part?
Of the how strategic was it?
Because I don't think it was strategic.
I am with you. I think really what it was he was talking. And he talks a lot, and eventually...
You do this, right?
Correct.
For hours and hours in the morning, and then you get a quick 100%. Lunch and come back and do it again.
The reason why I don't think, though, it was strategic is I think there are times that you don't really know what's going to catch fire.
You don't.
And I think there are times it works both ways. I think there are times that you do segments that you think are going to be hits, and they wind up being nothing burgers. And then there are times that you think of something as a nothing burger and it just catches fire. So I don't know if you can orchestrate it quite as, like, Machiavellian, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't, but, you know, he does follow it up very quickly, addressing that he is very aware of how passionate the Memphis fans are. So it could have been somewhat strategic. If he knows how passionate the fans are and how Memphis fans can quickly react to something, maybe he didn't know. But you know what he does know? What is strategic with Stephen A. is when something does resonate and it does get people talking, he knows to jump on it.
Milk
and
it.
He's going to milk it, and he's going to double down, and he's going to keep it going because he knows – what happened yesterday was good for today's ratings on First Take, and it may have damaged his long-term reputation and name value for Grizzlies fans, and I don't know how he can get it back. You know, it's going to be a while.
Well, I guess this is always the question I have when people are like, damaged his reputation. How many people out there are like, what is his approval rating?
I just think Grizzlies
really
fans
is like
Bill Plasky, whoever it is, that will, if you write one negative sentence about, you know, Grizzlies fans historically have.
The most ridiculous one of all time was when, after at Royal Port Rush, Kyle Porter tweeted out, "And next week we go to Memphis." It was not, literally, right. He was tweeting out a picture of Royal Port Rush that's sitting on the Irish Sea, and it's like, look how amazing it looks. Next week we're going to play exactly. Memphis. It could have been, we're going to play TPC Minnesota. It does, like, the whole point. And then you got people that, like,
if you say something negative about the city, it goes back to, you know, before you were born, Jeffrey. But, you know, we've got this Andy Kaufman effect of everything. Like, Andy Kaufman would come out, and he knew exactly what to say, and the crowd would boo him, right? And to this day, like, if you say something negative, like something that Andy Kaufman would say when he would come out to try to get heat at the Mid-South Coliseum against Jerry Lawler, if somebody else says it, we react like it's Andy Kaufman at the Mid-South Coliseum.
I think Kyle didn't even put next week we're in Memphis. I think he put next week we're at TPC Southwind.
Oh, well, if he went, you know, the official name and everything. But I know where you're. That was a moment. There's been quite a few references. I don't know if people hate Phil Jackson as much for his comments about Memphis as they should. But like was it T.J. Simers who wrote went back and forth with Calkins with some columns?
Phil Jackson really doesn't get, because I was talking about this with Calkins. I know you're one of the few people that agrees with me. We don't hold enough of a grudge against Delta Airlines.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't think Phil Jackson gets enough of a grudge
for that comment.
Correct.
And maybe you have to win, six championships? How many championships does he have? All of them? Yeah. No, nine? He's got the Lakers. How many damn titles does he have?
10, I believe.
Too many to count, more than anybody else.
No, 11.
And maybe you just
I think it's 6 and 5.
You have to be historically.
Yeah, 6 and 5.
Historically great, and that kind of makes him a little immune, maybe because he was such a
you know what
baby
I think it
face
is?
For a long time.
No, you know what I think it is? The internet, like social media. Like, he said it before, like the internet age.
And what was the Grizzly status? Was it a pre Grit and Grind, or was it the beginning of Grit and Grind when he said that?
Say
I can't
this
remember
was like,
the timeline.
George King, I wanted to say it was like
a playoff series.
I want to say it was around like 08.
It wasn't the playoffs.
Because I don't think we'd ever played the Lakers in the playoffs
we
until
at that
until,
time, yeah. Until very recently, yeah.
Whatever, the 23 season?
That sounds right, 08. Also, he has 13 titles.
Well, I think 2 are as a player.
2 as a player, 11 as a coach.
Right, but he has 11 as a coach. I was trying to do that off the top of my head.
Yeah, who needs trivia tomorrow? Jeffrey's viewing it out here right now.
You're welcome, y'all. I'm giving you a bye week.
Also, I still have trivia tomorrow.
Yeah, we're playing trivia. Get ready. I mean, come on out. So back up. We're trying to figure out. Do you think people will still hate Stephen A. Smith going forward? Or is there a hate? Or did enough people? You make a great point. It seemed like, looking at replies, a lot of people agreed with Stephen A. Smith.
I think he's the closest thing right now to the sports version of Howard Stern. Although I would say this.
Well, I mean, absolutely. But do people hate watch him, is what you're saying? Or they watch him to follow him to see what he's going to say?
I actually think it's a little different. Do y'all know anyone in your life? Like, for me, I have a high level of respect for Stephen A. Smith's work ethic and the fact that he truly is, in my mind, pretty self-made. Like, I respect the grind.
And it didn't get started off on a great start, you know?
No, like, he got bounced. I mean, yeah. There have been setbacks, and he has climbed his way to the top, and I respect that a lot. But I don't. Do y'all know anyone in your life that's like a ride or die Stephen A. guy?
I don't know about that.
No.
No one. Like, that's the thing. The difference between him and Stern is, while Stern also clearly had the. Like, Stern had the people that clearly, like, hated Stern and they hate listen. He did also have, like, a extreme
fans.
Cult following. Like, I don't know anyone that just, like, rides for Stephen A. It's almost like he truly is designed to be on the screen as a heel. Like, it's truly to get a reaction.
Right, sure. And sometimes it's the reaction of the person he's sitting next to, and sometimes it's you at home.
Correct.
And
so maybe both.
But so his statement that he said, so he's talking, you know, directly to the local authorities in Memphis, that you've got to clean some stuff up because people, you know, he's been told. So what I think has kind of been lost here, because we have our, and you got to really have to juggle a bunch of different thoughts in your head at the same time. Because we've definitely talked about the perception of crime in Memphis is worse than the actual crime. And it's very true when you're downtown. We have events downtown every single night with trivia and bingo. I mean, it's not like you're living in some post-apocalyptic movie or something that people talk about.
Or Dresden after the war.
Right, or Dresden. So we have to juggle the fact that the crime is not as bad as it is perceived, but it is some of the worst.
It's
in
not
the
good.
Country, yeah. And that fact, the part that then the next step you have to take is that fact that how is that impacting things? Is it impacting the Grizzlies in the way that Stephen A. Smith is talking about? It's been well documented, Jeffrey, on the station that it could be impacting the Grizzlies and their long-term commitment to the city.
Yeah, I would say
that to me is the stuff that really is concerned. Are we getting mad at Stephen A. Smith for reporting the news?
No.
It's how he presented the news. But at the end of the day, he is reporting the news.
I think there's a couple of things. Number one, I think the
or
first...
Or is this something that should be on Fox News? Like, how true is this thing that he is saying? Is he reporting some factual information here?
To your point, like, it is an extremely complex issue. I do think...
yes.
Part one, I think the immediate reaction is, like, what is the point of this? Like...
This is one thing we're also not used to, right? The biggest star in the history of the franchise before Ja Morant was Pau Gasol. And nobody talked about Pau Gasol in this manner ever, right? Ja's got his own sneaker.
It's kind of pre-debate show. It's definitely pre-engagement
era. I might have talked about him on Around the Horn. But
to your point. Right. Nowhere near this level.
So the reason he's talking about Ja. So you talk about Ja, you talk about Memphis. What's in his brain? What does Stephen A. know about Memphis? They've had a terrible season this year, so he probably hasn't had that much conversation about Memphis outside of negative stuff, right? But I'm sure he's had some positive stuff. But Ja's the name. They're talking about Ja. There's a reason, and Ja points it out on Twitter, that they're talking about Ja Morant on television instead of the NBA Finals, which is fascinating. Because I'm very intrigued with that with Halliburton and SGA and how these playoffs have gone on.
Sure.
Why can't they make those guys into bigger deals? But they're talking about Ja Morant and his future just based off of the Bane trade, which is bananas, too. I mean, we can get into that every day as well as how disconnected it seems like. And so Stephen A. is just as disconnected as the other people who were saying Memphis is blowing it up, right? You saw so much of those headlines earlier this week when Bane gets traded. This means Memphis is blowing it up because they're disconnected. Is Stephen A. Smith, he's not going to that direction, but he went in another direction because he needed something to say about Memphis. And this is the thing that he knows about Memphis, that this has been floated about something somewhere. There's something true about it.
I think it's one of those situations where I think it is used as justification, but oftentimes what we see is, it's very similar to when Houston's closed and then Houston's left the note basically being like, it's not us, it's you.
Yeah,
it, like all the crime, whatnot. Houston's closes restaurants all the time. When we first had this debate, like I went through like 15 of them that they have closed. They did not issue a PR statement. So there's part of the, it's like an easy win. And so you go to it.
No, I know. But the reality is,
with free agents are not signing with Memphis because they don't ever sign with small markets. And they don't, like, I even pointed this out yesterday. Like, the Denver Nuggets have the best player on the planet, and they're not signing free agents.
Right.
Like, no one was going to sit there and go, oh, Denver's a hellhole. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's one of those.
If LeBron would have chosen New Orleans instead of L.A., people would have signed with New Orleans. If he would have chosen Memphis instead of L.A., people would have come to Memphis.
Well, but I mean, that's kind of the problem. So
I do think that
when LeBron goes back to Cleveland, like, A, there's like some financial implications, but
true.
He didn't get a ton of free agents. And the first time around, in the end, he basically leaves because it's like they can't put anyone around it.
Is that one? I mean, I just thought he left because he
But, like, if you look at it, it's like, like, I was trying to go through.
He wants to go on a new
team. Free agents basically sign in, like, five places. So, recently,
Right, yeah.
They're always going to sign in L.A. The thing that's different now is they're willing to sign with the Clippers. That's a newer thing. That's a post-Ballmer thing because no one really was dying to go play for Donald Sterling.
But they will sign, and
they were not wrong. But
good reasons.
They'll sign in L.A.
The Clippers is like the WCW, or now the AEW to me, where it's like the other one in town. You can get paid a lot, and it's kind of be a fun job, but like you don't expect to succeed over there. But anyway.
Correct.
You don't expect to be as big of a deal there as the other ones, but you're going to get all the other great stuff. You're going to get the great contract.
And I think of the Lakers as when WWE was still run by Vince in the AEW era. It's like, we're not really enjoying this either. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, no one's really having a lot of fun.
But, no, you're right. There's not many markets.
The one that seems to be an addition to me,
a new one.
I feel like historically people have not been signing in Philly at the frequency that they have. Is that a Daryl Morey thing? Is that a Josh Harris thing? I don't know. Like, Philly seems to be added to the list. People always point out New York, but like, Not really. Like, Carmelo forced a trade there, but it wasn't like Carmelo just went in free agency. Yeah.
Very famously, remember, in free agency, they ended up not getting Kyrie and KD.
Well, I mean, and like...
Brooklyn did.
Well, remember when they were doing when they thought there was a chance that they could get LeBron? They were, like, rolling out the red carpet. Like, historically, like, New York's not one of them. Now, the Nets for a little while kind of had that, but, like, I don't know if that was a Jay-Z thing. I don't know if that was a... Russian oligarch thing. Like, I don't know if they're getting paid under the table, but like
it was like a 1 year thing.
Yeah, it was. Well, they were able to do the trade for the late stage big three from Boston.
What happened after that? Something that was like one type of
correct. Then there was one moment in time, and now it's we're right back to where we were.
Might as well be in New Jersey.
Could it be a spending thing? Because like, of course, there's Boston, a historically great franchise, who for the last 3 to 4 years said, whoever the big, you know, some of these big names, as well as our homegrown talents, we'll just splash the cash to win a title.
I mean, there's a little bit of that, but more of, I think what it really boils down to is they think they can make more money off the floor by being in those cities. Like in the end, a big reason of Durant going to Golden State, on top of like literally just thinking like, oh, if I just put some titles on Wikipedia, everyone will be cool. Like, they really hammered, like, you can get involved with these Silicon Valley companies. Like, there was a lot of money to be made off the floor. Yeah. So my first thought is there's some of that. But I think to your other point, more times than not, in those cities, the owners have deeper pockets, so they're more willing to take on the financial penalty.
Which I will say we might end up seeing that with the current CBA not being... with the actual penalty being as steep as it is when it comes to once you get past really the first apron, and beyond, if you hit the second apron, you know, okay, cool, you've like a year and a half, two of this before you really need to start thinking about things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, what I also think is transitioning is, I think people have also wised up to the idea that if you're just trying to build a team through free agency, now more than ever, you're overpaying and you're going to just cut into your depth.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you ask me to define what this era is in the NBA right now, it's the era of depth and really being significant again. And so you're not having the ability. But back to like Kevin's whole point, where it does apply, though, is whether or not it's fair, because I also think this is a fair thing to say. So the Grizzlies are very, like, using the real estate metaphor, they're unhappy with the neighborhood.
Your restaurant point was on point, because that's something that's impacting Memphians quite often. We're getting this restaurant closes and says it's because of crime. But it's like, is it? Because these other restaurants down the street that I go to all the time, they're doing great.
Correct.
And so... and you compare it to other like the other NBA cities that also have crime that could be doing great, but also not doing great, right? Like most of them don't get free agents, like you're saying. But the restaurant closing because of crime is a scapegoat, and it's unfair and does no good for the restaurants that remain open that are trying. Like, it's just it's bananas, because why are the other ones open and you're only hurting the other ones by saying crime is so bad when you close? And we have had way too much of that. And so we are quick to react when Stephen A. says something from the outside. But I'm wondering about, there's something that Stephen A. has heard about the perception of
yeah, I do think it is getting used as a, I think in the immediate amongst agents, whatnot, like, but my point was that I do think it's getting used, but it's also something that's not applicable. Like
for free agents, I don't really think it matters, but is it going to matter
where I do think
we're talking about the lease and the fan support. This is something that's this comment this week. What bothers me about it more than anything is how it is going to have that trickle effect
to your point, though, the question
who are not going to go to the games now because
where's
they remember hearing Stephen A. Smith say this.
Where's it coming from? Because there is also the implication, and I don't think Stephen A. got it from here, but I do think it has caused people to wonder, is this the Grizzlies saying that?
Because we know they're concerned, and they, I mean, look, the city, and I don't know, and the mayor's listening right now, I know safety, in his own home, it should be a priority. But also, now we're talking about downtown Memphis. We've got to figure out a way to make it at least appear safe, you know, appear safe, where people feel safe. And it is safe when you go down there. And it does seem a little different. I don't know what it is. But
okay, so here's the problem, though, that I have. I agree with that entirely.
That's what the Grizzlies are complaining about.
The Grizzlies are really complaining about that when you look at the area around the Forum, it's not nice.
I mean, what do they want here?
Okay, well,
it's nicer than what.
What I told you is, like, what they want is they're you go around to so many of these arenas now.
Westin Hotel, right?
Well, they
there.
Go to like
FedEx.
Someone got shot at the Westin Hotel. You know what I mean? Like, that's like they'll use that. But really, what
that was a targeted incident.
Correct. That is true. But you go to see like I got it. It stuck out to me when I went to Denver last year with Coors Field. And they've basically redeveloped the whole area around Coors Field that's called, like, the Warehouse District. Uh-huh. And so they completely revamped it. Okay, same thing. Like, my wife was in Indy now probably a year ago. And she stayed across from the arena. And she's like, hey, it's when you walk, like, you can walk from the hotel to the arena. But they have, like, this entire area around it. It's been redeveloped, shops, like, all that. So they want all that. My whole thing is, that's all well and good. Who's paying for it? Because that's the real question, because this is the other thing I'd point out. Most of the commercial real estate people that are developing stuff, they're all minority owners. So, like, my whole deal is, like, where's this all coming from? Like, at a certain point, it's like, well, like, someone give me some ideas. I'm not saying I disagree with any of this, but there's this reality of, like, snap your fingers, you need to do it. And I'm now to the point where I'm wondering, it's like, are you coming up with the unrealistic demand in the same fashion that we're talking about? Where is all this coming from? Are you coming up with the unrealistic demand to have the pre-excuse of, this is why we're leaving? We told you what we needed. It's like,
don't know for sure. Just to be,
this is what I'm
Stephen
wondering.
A got this idea in his head. But like, if you're going to a Grizzlies, I've said it like all the time. Like, going to Grizzlies, you can park in the FedEx Forum garage, walk right on over. Like, the idea that the safety in downtown is preventing, you know, the support or the Grizzlies from doing anything.
I think
that's nonsense.
This was the other thing Calk and I were talking about. I do think another thing that hurts us. We don't have enough things to be a destination for. Like, in the end, why does New Orleans avoid much of the conversation when New Orleans is going through the same things we are?
I mean, I heard that. I felt like, obviously, Graceland's a huge international, older demographic. Attraction
or Asian,
but
we get a lot of Japanese.
I feel like the and we cannot underrate the barbecue that we have and how how amazing food wise it is. But Memphis is on that level of the St. Louis for a great weekend destination. Like, you could come here. We did have pandas at the zoo, but we've got some stuff. I mean, I don't think it's like.
I think this is a problem. I would actually argue
New
this
Orleans,
is
but nobody is New Orleans. Nobody else is New Orleans except
I would argue,
New Orleans.
Correct.
I feel like we don't.
Okay, but let's use St. Louis. St. Louis is a good example.
But we don't talk about St. Louis's crime, but I think people in St. Louis hear other people talk about St. Louis's crime, but we're just not there. We don't think. We're in Memphis.
Well, they just think
so
it's
hell,
a Kansas
that's
City.
That's not going to stop us from going
they
to St. Louis.
They think it's like a Kansas City rivalry thing. But what I would argue, though, is.
No, but the
I don't think Grizzlies get, like, for whatever reason, NBA games are not thought of. Like, for instance,
sure.
going
I mean,
to
St. Louis,
going
like,
to the weekend for the Cardinals.
People are going to the Cardinals
correct.
Game because of.
And I'm not saying people don't, because Jeff's written about playing. But I don't think psychologically we think of going to NBA games as a destination. Like, if you think about it, when you go to NBA games, oftentimes in other cities, it's like you are going to another city and then you realize, oh, there's a game tonight. Like, yeah. It's more casual. Whereas St. Louis, like, it's not like they still have the Rams anymore. Like, I do think, like, if you want to get away from New Orleans, because New Orleans is such a destination at this point right. as a entertainment, as
the
a
food is unique.
Correct.
All of the.
But yeah. I do
it's
think,
like a, yeah.
I think it hurts us that we don't have enough things of. And this is why I'm still, they should have worked it out. It could have been done, but the fact that, like, Memphis in May has now become so fractured.
Oh, my goodness. Are we allowed to talk about that?
But, like, well, I mean, there's nobody's paying here.
All right, because, yeah, because none of the, you don't see it reported on in the media, but this is one of the worst things that we have done.
Because I was thinking about it in these contexts, because...
We're up against a break, I know, but it's one of the worst things that we have done, whoever is in control right now, over the past 5 years, is ruin Memphis in May.
Correct.
Like, this is something that was a civic institution my entire life, and from growing up in elementary school, where they're programming stuff around the country, and there was a vibe. I grew up in Germantown, and there was a vibe in Germantown about
correct.
Memphis in May. It was something special. It connected the suburbs to the city, and then when you get old enough, you go to the music festival, and then when you get enough money, you can go to the barbecue festival.
I have a team. And then, pay for a team.
Right, like, this was something that has been completely ruined.
Yes.
There was an experience that... Mind you, the NBA players that came here loved and embraced. You would see Shane Battier at Barbecue Fest and Mike Miller. You would see these guys walking around.
Other people to come here.
Right.
Like that to me, it's like part of the problem is these other cities, you think of them as more stuff to do. And it's not that we don't have stuff to do. Like, you and I know this.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
I don't know. Don't get me going on Memphis in May. The fact that it is not a thing anymore, it really is not a thing. And don't say, yes, sure, there's something. Like,
no,
the fact that we have competing barbecue festivals, it's absurd. And it's one of these small things. Once they disappear, they disappear and you don't have it. And that's what set us apart.
Really tough to get it back.
Set us apart from other places like Birmingham, Alabama, right? Like, we've got a few things that we have. And that was something, oh gosh, well, let's go to break.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, TV timeout next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kevin, TV timeout. I think let's start first with a story that you sent from over from Variety. And the headline is as follows. Disney plans virtual, quote, concession stand storefronts for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN streamers. Choosing a Marvel, Star Wars, or FX program when surfing Hulu or Disney Plus? Pretty easy. Adding shopping into the mix? Not so much. Disney hopes to meld streaming and selecting by adding new virtual, quote, storefronts, end quote, to its popular broadband venues that will allow viewers to order snacks or pick out products they've seen in their favorite shows, all while continuing to keep their binge on. The company is the latest to experiment with ways to harness the interactive nature of streaming, which allows viewers to control their experience with a few clicks of the remote. Disney will partner with ad tech startup ShopSpence to create new virtual storefronts that will be linked to some of the commercials it shows on its streaming outlets. Of course, also with going to ESPN Direct to Consumer that is launching this fall, that's where they'll bring in the whole concession stand thing. And what I actually find interesting about this is, number one, I think this kind of makes sense. Like, in the end, this is kind of what Amazon does. Like, part of why Amazon wanted to get into the NFL and have the Black Friday game was they wanted you to not only, they wanted to incentivize people to not go shop local, so sit here, watch some football. But while you're here sitting here watching some football, why not click on through? We got some great Black Friday deals on Amazon.com. So it's not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but what I'm also curious about is,
well, I mean, a little bit. So what they're trying to do is put it more into, I don't know how they're really going to put it into where you're watching it. Like, is it going to pop up? Is you going to have to deactivate?
I think it's going to be like
concession stand.
You know, like when you're watching now and you'll see like the Progressive ad pop up and there's usually always a QR code. I think it's going to be like literally like, want to buy this? Like, there's going to be a pop-up graphic. Want to buy this? Click here or whatever. Scan the QR code.
Because it does seem like that's a few of the things from the Jetsons that we haven't gotten that seems logical to get, right? Flying cars is everybody's, you know, number one. But the ordering food from the television. And we've got to where we didn't know we were going to have all these small computers in the pockets and stuff.
I mean, we've gotten pretty close with DoorDash.
I know, we got it. We're pretty much there. Like, so now they're just going to put it more into the show. I just like the phrasing virtual concession stand. Like, they're really using a real word and not trying to reinvent and make something new. Like, we're going to have very easy to understand by using the phrase concession stand.
But I do think where I've got to give them credit, I think they have now realized as an advertising based business how to literally have advertisements in their advertisements. We are quickly coming into ad inception.
I want to give props though to Peacock, right? The cock. I know you're not as big a fan of the cock as I am, but I gotta catch my.
I should clarify what my stance has always been. I think the interface and the functionality of the app sucks. I actually think the content on there is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna watch Traitors. I wish we had more time to break down the Traitors cast today because Travis Kelce's mom's going to be on the next season of Traitors.
I'm so glad they finally got some screen time.
We're gonna be breaking that down when that season starts. Shout out to the legend Rob Cesarino and the cast as well coming out. But we get I watch the Peacock a lot. But when you pause a show or a movie or whatever, they give you the screen is full like a text ad, picture ad, right?
Yeah.
Like you get. I thought that was. That's the way to do it, and I'm surprised not everybody is doing that. And I'm sure it's on other apps that I'm missing, but the picture ad, like when you pause it, oh, here's an ad for this. And I could see if I'm watching something, because usually if I'm pausing, that means I'm going to the bathroom or I'm getting snacks, right?
Or your kid's doing something.
Right. So they're,
yeah. But, or your wife's yelling.
But the,
maybe that's just me.
You pause it, and then maybe. You pause it, and then they have an ad for food or something, and you do something real quick to get food. I'm like, oh, that's pretty smart, because that's going to be used. Because I'm always wanting to get a snack. I'm watching.
It's honestly why I actually think one of my favorite ad campaigns of football season last year, I thought the McConaughey Uber Eats one worked. Football's an entire, like, it was
right.
The premise
driven,
was like, it's an entirely
food,
like a marketing operation to get you to want food because
maybe it's because you're just being lazy and you're just sitting on the couch watching football for 8 hours, but all I think about is food.
And now they're going to figure out a way to make it easier for you to for you to order. You don't have to take that extra step, right?
Correct.
Right now you see the commercial. Ooh, I want that. I need to get my phone out. Find the, you know, now it's going to be, ooh, I want that. Press the button. And that's what it, you know, we felt like we should have been there already. But I guess people got distracted with AI.
Did you see the story, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago, of, I believe it was Jeep, that they claimed it was a glitch, but most people believe they were beta testing on your GPS screen or whatever you're calling it, your touch screen in your car.
Infotainment.
They started at, like, they were firing off ads. And so now, that's what the car, like, it's on. It's on. Like, I mean, maybe it's over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at this point. Because now, like this is why.
Thank you, Sue.
My biggest, like, I'm just out on the optimization era. Like, of everything, but that's what it's all going to come down to. It's like, that's a screen. Jeep is losing out on revenue because there's ad space that you're not popping up. It's like, well, I bought the car.
Right.
Like,
It was pointed out, I believe it was on Fish on Friday on Tuesday one week on this station that, like, Walmart, a huge chunk of the percentage of Walmart's profits now are from advertising.
Correct.
For Walmart.
On Walmart.com.
Like, so, like, everybody's seeing, like, these ad dollars and the potential to put ads everywhere. Well, you know, and that's the future from what Minority Report and other movies where it feels like everything's an ad. So that's not what we want, but that is what we're getting. That's what the NBA court is already like. Well, what, you know, we'll see.
No,
that.
I mean, that's just, everything is just getting, if you have a square inch, that's advertising space. Yep. And, like, get ready, y'all. Like, that's how a lot of these colleges are going to solve the whole revenue thing. Like, in the end, like, until they figure out, like, they're just going to have to start, everything that they have that can be space is just going to be opportunity for revenue.
Yeah.
And it's like, as someone who, in general, is a capitalist, it's like, I get it. It's also disgusting.
Well, especially once you start, like, paying for something and
correct.
Then you get more ads.
Well, it just feels, that's the problem. It's just like you're squeezing every possible nickel. And it's just like, ugh, gross. All right. Goldberg. He's back. So he's going to be taking on Gunther. And I believe, did you send me, was it Awful Announcing or Cage Side? I think it was Cage Side because I think I had read it yesterday. So Goldberg showed up on Raw on Monday, and I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Goldberg looked old. Now, maybe you can help me out on this.
His age is...
He's got to be pushing 60.
Yeah, he's 58.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be pushing 60.
He just wrestled a few years ago, and he didn't look old necessarily. I mean, you know, you drop the G, he's Oldberg, right?
Right, he was also never... This isn't a guy that was, like, a notoriously great worker. Now.
No, not at all.
Phenomenal character. Unbelievable entrance.
He had some awful matches. A match with Undertaker in Saudi Arabia in the past decade was awful. He, of course, notoriously ended the career of Bret the Hitman Hart by kicking him in the head. He is not a great worker.
So the question, though, that I have is, were we clamoring for this again?
No, I don't know who's getting excited to see an older Goldberg wrestle, but he's coming back. He's obviously getting paid, so he's going to be happy.
I mean, but right.
Wrestling in Atlanta.
But if they're doing this, it implies that Triple H thinks he can make money off of it, right?
Right. Well,
so I guess what I'm missing is, like,
it's gonna
who
be
are
on...
the people? That, like, it's the same question I have with, who are the diehard Stephen A. fans? Who's really clamoring, like, I need some more Goldberg right now?
I mean, nostalgia sells, especially in wrestling, quite often. Goldberg, he wrestled short matches and would squash people, right? That's what it was all about. But now that he's old, that really doesn't
work. I mean,
work.
He had a great spear, but the problem is now we've seen other people with great spears.
Right.
Question from an uninformed.
Yeah.
In that case, me. Is that going to be like a headlining match? Like
this will
biggest...
be the main event. This will be the main event
of Saturday night's main event, which they're treating like...
Isn't
it's like
Gunther
in between...
also up there?
Nah, Gunther's probably like mid-30s.
Okay. That's
but
not near
Gunther's
as...
awesome.
But Goldberg's almost 60.
He's almost 60. And he's starting to look it. I think that's what the big thing. He has been, like, a lot of times some wrestlers are still wrestling, you know, I don't how old is The Rock at this point, right? And
Rock's got to be 51, probably.
The Rock is 53, right?
Yeah.
He's looking older, but doesn't look old. I think he looks older, but doesn't look old. And Goldberg kind of looked old when he came out, so I'm going to wonder what he looks like in the ring. But in wrestling, though, Jeffrey, remember, here's the problem. Goldberg's not going to do this, but this is what I would be saying if I was there at WWE, because he, one of my favorite wrestler types is not very, you don't see it very much anymore, but it's the guy who looks like he, the scary neighbor guy, right? Like, this is a guy who may not be in shape, but he looks like he's your next door neighbor. If he was your next door neighbor, you would not want your ball going in his yard because he's just a scary guy who lives next door, right? Goldberg could be that scary old guy who lives
James
next
Earl
door.
James Earl Jones in the Sandlot.
Right, exactly. But, like, so there's, like, that certain tough guy, wrestler guy may not be in the best shape, but he would just destroy you if you got close. Goldberg, you know, this...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.